mankind as a whole, the great world system into which it's organized. We talked about the world and Satan. It has Satan for its ruler. We said Satan, it has Satan for its God. It's controlled by Satan. The world and God, it does not know God. It hates God. It opposes God. And if we don't understand these things, we'll think, what in the world is going on? You hear the news, you see all the junk going on, you think, what in the world's matter with people? You ever heard people say, what in the world's matter with them? This Bible tells you what's the matter with them. The world and the Lord Jesus Christ, it does not know Christ, it did not believe Christ, and that's very, very true. It hated Christ, it rejected Christ, it crucified Christ. The world and the Holy Spirit doesn't know the Holy Spirit. It opposes the Holy Spirit. It's convicted by the Spirit. And they have another spirit rather than the Holy Spirit. The world and the Christian. The world doesn't know us. The world knoweth us not, Jesus said, because it knew him not. John said in 1 John 1:3. It hates us. And you really know that down in your heart. You know the more you live for Jesus, the more you come out clean for Christ, the world doesn't like it. The world does not receive our testimony. You know, in preaching and in ministry, it's easy to get discouraged because they say, well, nobody responds. How long did Noah preach? 120 years. Did you know things ain't changed much? They did not receive his testimony. Don't be discouraged about people not receiving your testimony. You're a seed sower. You can't make it grow. You can sow it, and you can water it, but you can't make it grow. Only God can do that. It's our job to sow the seed and go beyond that. The world's guilt, and this is very critical, and the world hates this. The world hates this thought. They do not like that word. They've even devised ways now to, you know, you need to get rid of your guilt complex. They don't want anybody to feel guilty about nothing. The course of this world is evil. Every man has sinned. And the Bible says, and this is one of the greatest verses in the Bible to use in winning people to Christ, the world stands guilty before God. Romans 3:19, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, and here it is, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. People have no need of a Savior until they realize they're guilty. They have no appreciation for mercy. They have no appreciation for grace. They have no appreciation for a Savior. No appreciation for a substitute until they know and understand they are guilty before God. It's not guilty before mankind. Our dilemma is that we're guilty before God. And so that's the world's Savior. We talked about this Sunday. The Father sent the Savior of the world. Christ came to save the world. He died for the sins of the world, and he took away the sins of the world. And you need to believe that. You know, sometimes we think people's too bad or situations, you know, people we know or something like that. You know, remember Paul basically was a murderer if you look at it in its basic sense. David, Abraham, all those. I'm so glad for the testimony of the Bible about the men that were saved, because Jesus came to save sinners. Paul said of him, chief, our gospel is a gospel for sinners. And that's why Jesus came, and people need to really believe, and we need to believe. Because if you don't believe that right there, how do you have any confidence and boldness to witness to anybody? You don't. And you need to believe that. Listen, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The world's destiny, the world's deceived and doomed. The old song said, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. This world is not the Christian's home. God has put us here for a while, and I think we ought to, realize first of all that we're here to glorify him and to serve him and honor him and live our lives in that reflection. But, you know, we have our families. I think life is wonderful, to be honest with you. I think God created a wonderful thing, home. And even in a fallen condition, life can be a blessing if you're saved. But this world is deceived, and it's doomed. And better understand that. The quicker you learn that in life, the better off you're going to be. Don't drive your tent stakes too deep. You're not staying here very long. The world's going to be judged. Acts 17:31. He's appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who he ordained. Judgment's coming. Keep that in mind. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. You and I are going to, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. And, you know, we don't need to live in a downspout over that. Live in joy that you have a holy God who's going to do right, and that you can come to God. Your sins can be forgiven. You can come into judgment. You come into judgment in the name of Jesus Christ as your substitute. And that's the only thing I've got tonight, folks. I ain't got nothing but Christ. I sure ain't going in my righteousness. And whenever God says, if God were to say to me, Reggie, why should I let you in heaven? I'd look straight at his son and I'd point to him and I'd say, because he died for me and took away my sin and gave me his righteousness. And your word says that if I'd receive him, that I'd become your son. And I'm hanging my whole eternity on Jesus Christ. That's it. And finally, the world shall pass away. The world passeth away. Set your affections on things eternal. Okay. Now, that brings us to this. Here we are, a Christian. We're in this world that we just got through studying about. Wicked. Going to pass away. Doesn't understand us, doesn't know us, hates Christianity. How do we live here in this world? The Christian is, first of all, saved out of the world. John 17:6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me. Look at that phrase. Out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Given to Christ out of the world. God has called out for himself a church. Church is a called out, means a called out assembly. A called out assembly. You remember the trumpets back in the Old Testament? They were a picture. And the trumpets, you always hear the phrase the trumpet call. And a part of that trumpet call is the calling out. And that's why the Bible talks about preachers are to lift up their voice as a trumpet. What are they to trumpet? They're to call men out of the world. They're to call them away from the world and out of the world to Christ. And when we're telling people about being saved, we ought to be honest with them. If you get saved, things are going to have to change. There's going to be a change. You're going to be called out. Christians not as saved out of the world there. It says in Galatians 1:4, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. That's what salvation, when we talk about being saved means that we've been delivered by him, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. We need deliverance from this world system, from this doom and this damnation and destruction that's coming to this world. And so he gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. So we're delivered from the world. So here we go. The Christian's saved out of the world. He's given to Christ out of the world, delivered from the world. When God saved us, he took us out of the old realm of sin, translated us into a completely new sphere. And I love this verse in Colossians 1:13 up there. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Now, what's that mean to you all tonight? How many here are saved? Say amen. Amen. Now, when you got saved, you were delivered from the power of darkness. What's that mean to you? I'll tell you what it means to me, first of all. Don't just cringe your whole life in fear of the devil. Don't let him put a spirit of fear upon you. Don't let him fill your head full of lies. Let me just tell you something. If you're saved, you're going to heaven. That's just the way it is. And we're delivered from the power of darkness. Satan can't do a thing to us but what our Heavenly Father allows. And we're delivered from the power of darkness. But here's the good part. Look at there. He didn't just deliver us from the power of darkness, but he translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. When you got saved, you not only were delivered out of the power of darkness, Satan has no more claim on you. You don't belong to him. He has no claim on you. The fact of it is, his authority over your life has been destroyed. You're translated into the kingdom of his dear son. Kingdom is that of a king, and you're under his authority, and you're under his power. And Jesus said, what did Matthew, go into all the world. He said, lo, I'm with you always. Even all power in heaven and earth given to me. And he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel. Why? You know, how many members of the brother was here from Haiti here a while back? Brother Johnson. Man, that guy is in a dark realm of darkness down there. How can he go down into a place of darkness like that? This is why. He's been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. Remember the night he talked about the truck coming in, but nobody could never seen the truck? Well, you know, I don't know about that. All I know is that God came in to deliver. You know, God came to his aid. And let me tell you something. I really believe in my heart that I am, day by day, under the protection of his hand. I believe the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. You know what? We just need to take this Bible for what it says. Because you not believing it, don't change it. It just keeps you from blessing. Corinthians 5, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away, behold, all things become new. And, boy, what a joy to be saved. Now, that's great. But now watch this. Here's the part that gets a little tough. Christian separation from the world. Now, you know, I want to be very honest about what I'm getting ready to say here, and I don't want to go beyond, nor do I want to leave behind. I always kind of knew in my mind that Christians were to be separated from the world. There's something intuitively, I don't know, you know, if you've been around Christianity and so forth. But I tell you, until God, you know, until I surrendered to preach, I want to say something to you. Christian separation is not just from the world. It's unto Christ. And I'm a lot more concerned about being separated unto Christ than from the world, because there are people who try to separate themselves from the world, but not unto Christ, and that don't work. You can have a separation. You know, if you come in this church and you think, well, I'm supposed to dress like this, and I'm supposed to do this, and I'm supposed to do this, and this is part of my separation, that's junk. That's shallow. What you want, you know I preach on that stuff, but what you want is to be separated unto Christ. Separated to Christ. What happens when you got married? You were separated from all others. And that's the idea. And if you look at that as a pain, oh boy, I can't run around with all kinds of women now, I'm married. That wouldn't be no joy in that, would there? You want separate, don't look at separation as a bad word. Look at it as a wonderful, wonderful thing. Separation is a good thing. Now, John 17:14, I have given them thy word. And the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. We're not of the world anymore. Not of the world. 1 Peter 2:11, dearly beloved, I beseech you, watch this, strangers and pilgrims. You ever hear that song? I am a stranger and a pilgrim. You know that song, don't you? Traveling through this world of sin, but I've got a home in that yonder city. Anyway, that's the whole deal. Where did they get that? They got that out of the Bible. I beseech you, we're strangers and pilgrims. We're just passing through. Abstain from fleshly lust. Can anybody name me some fleshly lust? If we're supposed to abstain from them, what are they? Ice cream. Who said ice cream? Jim, would you go back there and thump somebody? I don't know who said that. Only one. Fleshly lust. Good grief alive. Well, I guess I'll let you flesh that one out for yourself. But you better figure it out, because here's what happens if you don't. What do these fleshly lusts do? War against the soul. Do you know why a lot of people are having mental problems? See, your mind and all that's inside. That's part of that soulish part of you. They're fleshly on one side and trying to be spiritual on the other. And that flesh, remember this, the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And the two are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the... What's that? Two are contrary one to the other. What's that mean? There's a war going on. There's a fight going on. God knows what... If you don't abstain from fleshly lust, you're feeding it. I guess ice cream. But it's kind of like this. The guy says, Well, I got trouble with pornography. Well, cut the cable, blast off the satellite dish, and stay away from places that has porn in it. That would be how you would abstain from fleshly lust. If, somebody says, drinking, don't drive around the beer joint. Pretty soon you're going to stop and get out and go get a beer. You abstain from it. Down at Camp Joy, nearly all the time I was growing up, there used to be a sign out there, maybe still there, abstain from all appearance of evil. God says abstain from that. Stay away from it. Don't make no provision for the flesh. You got to learn to do that. Don't make no provision for it, because it wars against your soul and make your life miserable. We're strangers and pilgrims in the world. James 4:4, ye adulteresses and adulteresses, know ye not that, boy, here's a tough one, friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And now what we need to do is look at every issue of our life. Look at what you got in your house. Look at it and say, is this worldly? Is this of the world or is this of Christ? Just ask yourself. And I would encourage you, if it's worldly, if it's friendly of the world, I guarantee you it's going to affect the spirituality of your house, because the Holy Spirit's going to be grieved. There's one thing you don't want: the Holy Spirit grieved in your home. That's the last thing you need, for the Holy Spirit to be grieved and quenched by worldliness in your home. Whosoever therefore be the friend of the world is the enemy of God. No friendship with the world. James 1:7, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to go to church 3 times Sunday. To visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. And to keep himself unspotted from the world. Anybody want to comment on how you can keep yourself unspotted from the world? Well, you think on that one this week. It's kind of like getting mud on you. How many you ever sinned and you felt like you just fell in a cow pile? You ever do that? You just fell in a mud hole and you just dirty. Just dirty. Well, that's kind of the idea there. Unspotted from the world. Kept unspotted from the world. Galatians 6:14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only thing we and I got to glory in. By whom the world is crucified unto me. Did you know the world's still crucifying? In other words, they're dead to you. Did you know what a really vibrant Christian is like to the world? He smells like death. That's the truth. You really live for God, they saw a lot of people don't want to be around you very close. They'll really watch. You smell like, the Bible says it, that we're a savor of death unto them that are lost and a savor of life unto them that's saved. Some old boy that hates God and hates church, hates preachers, hates the Bible, and you see him down at some store, and he might wave and say hi, but he don't, But here comes somebody in church that you love, your fellowship in Christ. Why, you're glad to see him. Well, that's the difference. One of them's death, one of them's life. And then it says this: by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. The world's crucified to me. It's dead. That's why Paul said, die daily, die to it, die to it, die. The things that used to attract you, as God sanctifies you in a practical sense, the things that used to you used to be alive to, they're kind of dead to you now. They don't excite you. Okay, Christians' behavior in the world. Titus 2:12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live. By the way, you're supposed to live soberly, righteously, and godly. Nowhere in there did it say you ought to live good. Now, I'm not against being good, and I'm not against good works, but we ought to move from trying to be good to living godly. There's all the difference in the world there. From good to godly. We should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. We're to live. That's how God wants us to behave. Denying godliness and worldly lust. Now you say, Reggie, what in the world's wrong with watching some, kind of half-cocked, dirty TV shows? Well, might make you think on things you ought not be thinking on. Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world. What's that mean to somebody here? How would you not be conformed to this world? How about your business relationships? Tell the truth, do what you say you'll do. Don't dress like the world. How many of you wonder why I ain't put earrings in my left ear yet? I know that's an extreme example, but do you understand? You do understand that? Why would some 17-year-old boy have an earring nowadays? Because he's conforming to this world. You know, the big deal now is go get yourself tattooed real good. Why would they go get their body tattooed? They are conforming to this world. You ever see a kid walk down the street, his hat's on backward, shirt tails out, and his britches hanging down about the knees? And a pair of tennis shoes three times too big. What's he doing? He's conforming to this world. Now, watch out. Did you ever see a preacher who just talks and he combs his hair and dresses just like all the rest of the preachers tells him he's supposed to? What's he doing? He's more concerned about being conformed to a religious world than he is to Christ. Now, I'm not saying that's all wrong about everything, but if they're not careful, they're not conformed to Christ. They're conformed to a religious group. In fact, did you know something funny? If you ain't, there's a lot of groups out there. You can spot them when you see them, right? And some of them don't even believe in salvation by grace. But they're conformed. But watch that thing right there. You be real careful about that thing right there, about wanting to look like everybody else looks in this world. I used to get tickled. And that really, how many members, how many's old, you remember platform shoes? Oh, we got a lot of old timers in here. How many's ancient remember bell bottoms? Oh, easy. Now, why did we wear, how many wears long hair as a boy? Now, what in the world would cause a boy to wear long hair? We was trying to be conformed to the Beatles. We saw all them girls are screaming at them Beatles and said, well, if that long hair will get the girls are screaming at me, I'll grow her. That's about the short of it, ain't it? Ain't that really what it was all about? What would cause a guy to take a nice, nice used four-wheel drive pickup, jack it up 4 foot in the air where nobody could climb in it, and put great big tires and a muffler on it and go driving around town? What would cause a guy to do that? Get folks, you know, he's seen somebody else have it, and he just wants his a little bit higher in the air. He's trying to conform to this world. God says don't do all that stuff. You know what? You'll never be the unique person God meant you to be until you get over here. Transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What we want is not being conformed. We want to be transformed. Get our minds renewed. Get rid of that stinking thinking. Amen. Renew your mind. Now, how in the world would a guy renew his mind? Oh. Washing of the water of the Word. That's how your mind gets renewed. I promise you, I didn't always think like I think now. In fact, a lot of things I thought totally opposite. But when I got saved, God said, all right, stop this, Reggie. Start doing this. And renew your mind by the Word of God. That's one of the greatest things ever happened to you right there. Renew your mind by the Word of God. Now, the world is not against you renewing your mind. They just don't want it in the will of God. It'll mess with your mind. John 17:15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. God wants us kept from the evil of the world, and I thank God for that. Evil destroys you. Evil tear you up. Evil ruin your life. God loves you. It's not for your destruction. The Bible says it's for your good. 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, and here it is, the lust of the flesh. Everything in the world can be condensed down to these three things. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Is not of the Father, but is of the world. Love not the world. Here's a question. Can the world see Jesus in us? 2 Corinthians 3:1-3. Do we begin to again, to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, as letters of commendation from you. Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts. No, whoa, look at this one. Known and read of all men. Did you know what you folks do every Sunday? You read each other. You know what you do every time you meet somebody? You're reading them. You meet somebody new, you're reading them, trying to get to know them. You find out, are they what they really claim to be, what this person like? You know, you're reading them. God says that we are an epistle, and written in our hearts. Somebody has said the only Bible some folks are ever going to read is the one that's in your heart, your life. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, look at this, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. People are looking at us and they're reading the Bible through our lives. That's why God does not, that's why God wants us to behave ourselves scripturally in this world, because long before they're ever going to read a Bible in black and white letters, they're going to read the Word of God, that epistle written in your heart and my heart, not with ink. They're going to read what's been written by the Spirit of God in our heart. Isn't that good? That's what God wants. That's true Christianity, folks, when it's written in our heart. The Christian's ministry to the world, Philippians 2:15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Uh-oh. Crooked and perverse nation? Who would think of such a thing? Among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Lights in the world. Matthew 5:14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Do not think for one second that your life doesn't count. Every light. You know what? That light from the sun that you enjoy today came in little bitty particles. You say, well, that one little particle doesn't matter. Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. And you matter. John 17:18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. So we're lights in the world. Now we're sent into the world. Oh, God, I don't want to go into the world. Lord, I don't want to be sent into the world to represent you. Jesus said unto them again, peace be unto you. Even as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. Mark 16:15, he said unto them, go ye into the monastery, hide out till the rapture. Go ye back on your 20 acres in the middle of the government forest and dig a concrete cellar. And there store all your 5-gallon buckets of Y2K grain. No. God says, go out that job tomorrow. Go into that workplace and preach the gospel to every creature. Preach to the world. The Christian responsibility is worldwide. Sin covers the whole world. Christ died for the whole world. We should give the gospel to the whole world. The Christian's conflict with the world. Here we go. John 16:33, these things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have what? Well, they told me if I'd get saved, I'd have love, joy, peace, and everything. I'd be so happy and everything would go good from here on. In fact, I could possibly get rich. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Get it down. Not a Sunday school picnic, folks. But watch this one. Be of good cheer. Why? Christ has overcome the world. So when the old world gets to beating on you, you wonder, what in the world is going on? Remember, he's overcome it. He's overcome it. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children. And that you mean not only he's overcoming, but, oh, surely I ain't overcoming. Yeah. You're of God, little children, have overcome the world because something. Not because you're great. I'm great. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You ought to get that down. Why don't you decide that you're an enemy of the devil tonight And the devil's no longer going to have place in your life. Give no place to the devil. And you're not going to let him do that. Won't you decide, you know what, I've got somebody living in me that's greater than him. And he's overcome him, and I'm an overcomer because I'm in Christ. I'm not going to put up with it no more. I'm not going to live in that low land and wallow in the mud no more. We're on the winning side. Amen? Amen. Well, I'm on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. 1 John 5:4-5. Look at here. Look at here. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? He that was baptized. He that joined the church. He that was religious. He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Man, I'm telling you, you're talking about good stuff. Now, I want to do something right here. Right, watch this real careful. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. I want you to tell me, whatsoever is, what is that? What is that whatsoever is born of God? Is that your flesh? No. That's the new man. Born again creature, that new creature in Jesus Christ is what overcomes the world. Your flesh and your mind and your intellect and your intelligence and my sharp tongue does not overcome the world. It's the new man. Born of the Spirit of God, the new creature, the new man. That which is born of the Spirit is what overcomes the world. Our problem is we're trying to overcome the world in the power of the flesh. Don't work. But here's the truth. Whatsoever is born of God, that new creature in Christ overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The old song says, faith is the victory. Who is he that overcometh the world? How did Noah have victory? By faith, Noah being warned of God, of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Enoch. By faith, by faith, by faith. That's how they overcame the world. And Noah's a wonderful example of that. He said, it ain't never rained. And they said, Noah, it ain't never rained. You ain't never seen it rain. Noah, that boat didn't fit in the river around here. He said, I don't care. God says, by faith, he overcame the world. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Victory over the world. By faith, not by intellect. The world and the church. Separation from the world not only applies to the individual Christian, but also the Christian church as a whole. And this is important. This is what's killed the church in America, right here. Be ye not unequally yoked. Bring rock and roll into the church, you're yoking up with the world. You can't tell me, you'll never tell me that rock and roll is all right in the church. It's not. The world is at odds and enmity with God. You can't bring the world to church. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Man, a church that lets the devil in, a church that doesn't hold up biblical standards, is compromising and not separating, and God won't bless it. In fact, he curses it. Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. And as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God. Watch this. They shall be my people. They shall be my people. Wherefore? In other words, because I dwell in them, God says, and because I walk in them, and because I'll be their God, they shall be my people. He said, this is what I want you to do. Come out from among them and be ye separate. Come out from among them and be ye separate. Now, wait a minute. We're supposed to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We're supposed to take the gospel to the world. How do you go in the world and stay separate? Bring them in. You just don't participate in the things that are ungodly. Jesus ate with sinners, but he didn't partake of their sin. You need to learn how to, you know, be a light in the world, but maintain separation. Here's the tough one. Very seldom do we pull people up. Most of the time they'll pull us down. If you don't maintain separation, they'll pull you in. You'll get sucked in. Be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not. Whoa. You mean, Lord, I can't even touch it? The unclean thing. And I'll receive you. I'll be a father unto you. You should be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Don't let anybody tell you that separation is not a biblical doctrine. It is. And we're not talking about self. I didn't say be self-righteous. I said be separate. God hates self-righteousness. A lot of people who learn the doctrine of separation get self-righteous and look down their nose at people who don't dress like they do or who don't have the convictions they do. And all of a sudden they've forgotten the grace of God that led them out of Egypt, Christ. And now all of a sudden God has to discipline and chasten those people. And sometimes their churches literally die because of self-righteousness. But a lot of churches die because they won't have separation. They won't say, hey, this is wrong and this is right, and that ain't going on here. They want everybody to like them. They believe they got a better idea than God. They believe they can win the world. Y'all remember the secret sensitive churches going on? You know, come as you are. I'm not worried about some old boy coming in here in dirty clothes. That don't bother me a bit. But that's different from saying, oh, dress like the world, act like the world, look like the world, you know, be the world and come on in. And our church is worldly, and you'll feel comfortable here. And you won't feel uncomfortable here, worldly. That's not you ain't with God if that's what you believe. I'll be a father unto you and be a son and daughter. Acts 15:14. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to do something, to take out of them a people for his name. Take out a people of his name. Church's business, not to educate the world, to entertain the world, or control the world. Our church's business is to witness to the world and remain separate from it, to be salt and light. And that's a critical statement right there. Okay, I think we're done. That's fast, wasn't it?